You're listening to the Gal for All Seasons with the one and only Coupon, NDB Media Sports.
Hello out there! Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here on the NDB Media channel, sports channel, actually, on Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Taryn the Coop Cooper. Your gal for all seasons. What's going on, everyone? I missed you last week. I decided to push the New York Ranger Dial In show up for another week. So that will be taking place tonight from about 7:10 to about 7:30. My special guest tonight will be the one and only Metrodamus, John Coppinger, who will be talking New York Rangers with me. You'd think a guy like Metrodamus would know about the Rangers, but he does. I'm sure there will be some glowing about Rick Nash and some very welcome news that we just heard about Mark Stahl, which we'll address later. But this is an open dial in night. So if you're tuning in, join us in the chat room. Dial in at 347-637-2306 between 7:10 and 7:30, and I hope that, we can just chat about the Rangers, bring up any topic you want, no holds barred, okay? But before Metrodamus dials in, I have some rants about my other team, the New York Mets. And, I don't think that there is an off season or preseason or spring that goes by that there's not some kind of underlying drama that really takes away from the team. And I've written about several topics in the last few days. Namely on my my other site, not the galforallseasons.com site, but my Mets co-op site, kinerscorner.com, regarding Johan Santana and the pitching rotation. But I've also had some rants recently on other Mets news regarding the Amway situation at Citi Field and Mike Piazza. Now, you'd think Johan Santana, Amway, and Mike Piazza really don't have much to do with one another, and they probably don't, but they tie into the state of the Mets right now. And to me, it's just kind of telling that this is where we're getting our news, okay? We're getting our news on the Mets about this stuff instead of what's going on with the team. I guess, these distractions are almost welcome, because usually, there's some kind of strife in the clubhouse, there's something, underhanded moves by the front office, but now it's just, we're talking about a current member of the team, Johan, a past member of the team, Mike Piazza, and outside business dealings. Let's get started. I feel like, with the Johan Santana situation, apparently he didn't stay in shape after getting his all clear. I'm assuming he had an all clear from his injury last year, to continue with his conditioning and his workout to be ready by April or to be at least in some kind of shape for spring training. Okay. Now, in general, I'm just going to summarize and say I think that it is really insulting to everyone involved, and that's fans, that's the players, that's the team, that's the pitching rotation, it's just everyone, even Johan Santana. I think it is insulting to think that he will be the Johan Santana of old, the guy who won two Cy Young Awards with Minnesota, and he was a cult hero with the Twins. He came to the Mets, and his shit was not stinking, okay? When I still have such warm, fuzzy memories of when that trade went down in early 2008, before the season started, obviously. Just the hope that it brought to Mets fans. There was a monumental 2007 late season collapse, and I'm not knocking the trade at all. I mean, come on, guys. That trade we do every single day of the week and twice on Sundays. He has pitched some of the guttiest pitching performances that I have seen just in his first year, and then last year, he has his name next to the first ever Mets no-hitter, team's history. And yet I had a conversation a few weeks ago about who, you know, they said, well, Johan is definitely going to get the opening day nod. And I kind of lost my mind. I thought, it's ridiculous. Why are we depending on Johan Santana for anything this year? I don't think, you know, Johan, thank you for June 1st last year. But, you know, every other year has been a bust with him. And I think that it is really unfair. And it's nothing against him. He's a warrior. He is a competitor. I'm not knocking, you know, his work ethic at all. I know that he is a very strong competitor. He goes out there, and even when he gets blown apart, you know that he's given his all. Quite frankly, I think it is really unfair to think that he's going to perform at all this season. I mean, our best wish right now is that he's going to pitch well enough so that we can trade him at the deadline to a contending team. This is what our life is reduced to, folks. But let me back up here and get back to the matter at hand. When someone asked me, well, you know, how do I think that the pitching rotation should be set up? And, I mean, it's a fair question whether Johan Santana is going to be a serviceable pitcher at all. I mean, is he going to be number five in the rotation? We know he's not an ace. We know he's not a number one starter. And why the fuss about it? And to me, it's kind of funny how this has all kind of evolved. Now, everyone knows me as the East Coast chapter president of the Jonathan Joseph Neese fan club. I love Jonathan Neese, okay? This guy has not gotten any respect. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield of the pitching rotation. He just gets no respect. And he is the only one out there that is worth a damn on the team, if you ask me. And, you know, I hear from a lot of people, well, he doesn't have a big personality, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? Tom Seaver is revered in Mets culture. He's a dickhead by all accounts. Nobody likes the guy. And the only time that you can get him to do anything remotely related to the team is if there is wine involved. This is who we revere in Mets culture, people. So to me, I think, you know, John Neese is, you know, is the number one starter on the Mets team. I correct me if I'm wrong. We're at a strategic disadvantage in the rotation without R.A. Dickey every fifth day. But to rely on Johan Santana at all beyond an every fifth day start is not wise. The question of Johan Santana is a very sad one. And, you know, the hope surrounding his arrival has led to a few glimmers of that. But mostly it's been a big disappointment. And, you know, it's sad. So moving right along, current City Field news. Amway, which is they're kind of like an at-home retailer, for those of you who are not, you know, wise to it. They help provide, they're, you know, essentially a multi-level marketing schematic, and they're basically a home-based enterprise. So like schmoes like you or me could open an Amway franchise in our homes, but they're actually, Amway sponsors the Orlando Magic's arena, and they sponsor something with the Detroit Red Wings. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it boils down to Lowell Mets, because Amway has this reputation of being a quote-unquote pyramid scheme, and people look at multi-level marketing companies and lump them all together, and I actually am a member of a network marketing business, and I know, you know, I have my own opinions about Amway, but my philosophy is, you know, I don't really get the negative feedback regarding Amway opening up a storefront and brick and mortar. It seems against their very ethos, if you will. It's, you know, because they're very much, you know, very low cost kind of setup, but they could be very successful for people. My philosophy is, if they're paying rent on time, who gives a damn what the hell they do? Am I right? Moving right along, I'll wrap up with my thoughts on Mike Piazza. There's no secret. It's funny with Mike Piazza. I probably did not appreciate him as a Met until his last season, when his usefulness had kind of dried up. So it's kind of ironic how that's kind of become. But there is a rumor, but, you know, to give you a little background, Mike Piazza, you know, essentially he's been voted the best catcher in Mets history, fan favorite, leader, you know, de facto leader, I should say. He wasn't necessarily a clubhouse leader of the late 90s, early 2000 Mets, when they made a run and they were very competitive then. there's a rumor, surprise, that his relationship with the Mets is a bit chilly. That doesn't surprise me because the Mets really don't do a great job of keeping their alumni very happy. But there was an interesting article that I addressed the other day, written by Dave Lennon at Newsday, suggesting that Jeff Wilpon – okay, let's back up here. Jeffy Wilpon has the final say of who and what gets into the Mets Hall of Fame Museum and what numbers are ultimately retired. Now, seriously, guys, really? This is it? The last time the Mets have retired and honored one of their own, I mean, besides the Hall of Fame inductions, which they have done a good job of doing that, I'll give them credit there, they haven't retired a player number in over 25 years, and that was Tom Seaver when he retired finally. And now, to me, the question is, I really hope that the Mets have a better committee selection process, because we are all in trouble if this falls on Jeff Wilpon. Why isn't it, you know, Gary Cohen, Howie Rose, like a committee of our elders? And, you know, get some fans involved. Shit, Greg Prince, Matt Silverman, me, you know, the token female. Hello. Mets history to us is like pornography. And if they're saying that, you know, their relationship is a little strained, fuck that. You know what? The fans still love him. Bring him back. Retire 31 and name the taste of the city the Piazza. Without further ado, folks, we've got a night to chat about the New York Rangers, as I ranted about the Mets for the last few minutes. We've had a shortened season. I was a little hesitant coming in, but, you know, as the monkeys like to say, I'm now a believer. Nearly half the games have been played, and there have been a few hair-pulling moments, but I'd like to open the lines. If you'd like to ask any questions, feel free to bring it up in the chat room or dial us in at 347-637-2306 for the next 20 minutes. Without further ado, let me bring on my co-host for the evening, the great John Metrodamus Coppinger himself. Yo!
Coop! Yo! Yo, indeed!
What's going on?
I think
on,
I'd rather have the monkeys have final say on the Mets' retired numbers than Jeffy Wilpon.
You know, I'm with you. Like, I don't really know, you know, what the process is, but I'm like, seriously? What the hell does he have to do with the Mets history? I mean, I feel like, you know, the ultimate vote should go to, like, a committee of the alumni, maybe have Gary Cohen and Howie Rose as, like, you know, the elders, and then bring in, you know, a few of us fans, you know, that, you know, study this shit. Come on.
It makes too much sense. And Jeffy involved in anything Met is scary to me. It creeps me out when he gets too comfy and cozy with the players on the field and deciding what good luck charms go in the locker room and, oh, this chest is bad luck. It has to be destroyed. Shouldn't you be cutting more deals or something? Shouldn't you be, like, owning the team and not busting Justin Turner's chops about what he wears during warm-ups? I digress. I know we have other things to discuss tonight.
It makes my skin crawl, but another time, I'm sure, you know, we could have a whole podcast devoted to, you know, why Jeffy Wilpon needs to get out of his own way. Okay. Ranges. All right. This season, it's like a season on steroids. You know, I had you on earlier on in the season. It's a sprint, not a marathon. There have been some hair-pulling moments, but at this point, what is your take on this team? What are you feeling right now?
Well, I kind of do feel that the way it's gone along, that and I thought this since very early in the season, this is the kind of year where I think the Rangers, it's not going to bother me so much if they don't run away with everything, if they don't get the number one seed like they did last year. This is the kind of club, I think, that with the changes in the third and fourth lines and some of the personnel, that they're still finding their way early in the season. I think now they're starting to realize who they are and how the pieces fit. I think it's great what Rick Nash has done. I think I underestimated what he would bring, and I think he's been outstanding. And it might not show point wise or goal wise, but he's done a really great job. I think if anything, the Rangers have become a little too over reliant on him. when guys like Gaborik have been missing, guys like Brad Richards have been missing. But Nash has seemed to have found something with guys like Stepan and Hagelin. So as long as he's healthy, I think the Rangers will be fine. And as long as they get in the playoffs, then you can hit your stride there, because it's not – look at the L.A. Kings. Mm-hmm. It's not who's the best, but it's who's the hottest at the right time.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And I'm kind of with you there. I really – it was frustrating at times to me anyway. And like I said, those hair-pulling moments. And I felt like, you know, I was having sort of like this parallelism going on with my teams. I was getting some vibes in some of the games, you know, how the 2007 Mets started falling apart. And it wasn't even just, you know, September of 2007. There were games during that season that you were like, if you had just won that one friggin' game, we wouldn't even be talking about this season. You would have made the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. And there was that game a few weeks ago with the Rangers against the Bruins where they blew a 3-goal lead.
Right.
A 3-0
yes,
lead.
Yes.
In the third period, it went to overtime. And they ended up I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is my worst nightmare. It's having just this, you know, last year they finished with a bang, and I thought, you know what, like, this team is really built for the future. You know, we're that one piece away, and then they end up getting their guy. And you're like, yes, you know, we got Rick Nash. This is great. And then they, you know, I don't want to say they started off slow. I mean, clearly we wanted to see them come up to a better start, but it seems like now, like you say, they're literally hitting their stride right about now, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, absolutely not. And you're right. Thankfully, they did get 2 points from that Bruin game. I was thinking about it because I think I'm pretty sure it was you that you made some sort of parallel between. I don't know if you paralleled this year to the 09 Mets because of all the injuries, or I kind of thought that my fear was that last year was more like the 06 Mets, where they got up to a quick peak from the year before,
mm-hmm.
and then as they started out this year, you think, oh well, might it have been all a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
think it is a fluke. I mean, you look at the way they're built. I still think that they're built for the future, in terms of the supporting cast and forwards. It's Henrik is the guy that is hitting his prime now, and you got to win the next couple of years when Henrik is in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the battle now with the Rangers will be to stay healthy, keep guys like Nash healthy, keep guys like Callahan healthy. The key parts of the team, you know, keep them healthy, and they hit a huge bump in the road last night, obviously with Mark Stahl. I think the initial reports seem to be good on him, or as good as they can get. So if he comes back in a reasonable amount of time, then I think the Rangers will be all right.
You know, and I'm with you, and you actually brought up two topics. And another side topic, you know, were with all the injuries, and it just seemed like, you know, they were just dropping like flies. And it first started out, I was at the game where Callahan got hurt. And, you know, I hate that I'm like this. I hate that I'm like this grumpy old fan, because I'm like, that Callahan, he's so messy. You know, I'm a grump. I get it. I understand. I know that
lawn.
I do it. And, you know, he has really put his ball to the wall this season. Like, I am really impressed with his leadership. He is definitely, you know, the heart and soul of the team. But then, you know, it seems like to me when they finally started clicking on all cylinders, another guy goes down, and that was Brad Richards with the Coletta hit the other night.
Yes.
But it also seems like to me that was almost a rallying cry with his, you know, him being out, and then the suspension, it seemed to really rally the team together. Like, oh, you're not going to take us down, you know.
Absolutely. Certainly short-term it rallied them in that game. And I think the only question now is, will it rally them long-term? And it seems to have done that so far. So, you know, if there's a linchpin that everybody can rally around, it's Patrick Coletta. Because there's a guy that doesn't belong in a bar league, much less the National Hockey League. I'm sorry. He's got no talent, and he does, and he's guaranteed to do something stupid. He's Claude Lemieux without the talent. How's that? Claude Lemieux he hit dirty. He turtled when it came time to pay the piper and fight. Both things that Coletta does, but Lemieux could actually play some hockey. Coletta can't play any hockey. So when he does something stupid, it does have that effect because everybody's mad at him. I mean, even his own team was mad at him. I mean, I don't know if you, John Gianoni reported after the game that when Brad Richards came on the ice, Steve Ott came up to him and made sure he was all right, and he said something to the effect of man, I can't believe we're going through this again, or something to that effect.
Right.
Or
right.
His own team can't stand him. So, you know, any rallying cry a team can get is all right with me.
All right. Well, hey, we have a caller in the queue. I think I know who it is. Shall I bring them on?
Bring them on. Mystery caller, sign in, please.
All right. Well, you know, before I bring them on, you're listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here in the NDB Media Sports Channel and Blog Talk Radio. I'm the Coop. This is my co-host, Metrodotus, for the night. And da-ding! Steve, is that you?
Yes, Madame Coop, it's me.
All right. This is everybody. This is the legendary, the great Crane Pool Society owner, Steve Keen. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good evening, Sir John. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Keen. How are you? How are you holding up this fine evening?
Oh, I'm doing well, especially after reading the news that Mark Stahl looks like he will make a very nice recovery from what looked like a devastating injury last night.
Oh. Yes.
So, yes. I mean, getting him back, and this team is starting to gel a little bit. As Coach Torts would say, they're getting their jam on. So they're starting to look, and you know, you guys were talking about Patrick Coletta, and I think we may have to vote him a playoff share because I think he might be the guy that's turned around this season.
Yes.
with his stupidity.
Yeah, you're right. Anything it takes. So the MVP of the Rangers, Patrick Coletta.
You know, the one thing that's been missing.
He'll get the good guy award.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's been missing from this Ranger team has been the ability for them to stick up for one another and to, you know, mix it up a little bit. The Rangers were a really nasty team last year that nobody wanted to mess with. And you lost that with Prust. You lost it with Rupp. And you lost a little bit of it with Brandon Dubinsky. But, I mean, it's a kind of a different team now. But
it didn't help that the guy that they brought in to replace him is always hurt or scratched in Aaron Astrom too.
Yeah, that doesn't help them either. And I think we saw a move that Glenn Sather made when he brought up this Michael Haley from Connecticut, and all he does is he's just an instigator. That's what his job is. And I think that they're trying to send that message to this team that, you know, we got to start finding our way to stick up for one another. But the other thing is Rick Nash has whatever injury he had that was undisclosed that no one would talk about, whatever it is, it seems he's fully recovered. And watching this guy game in and game out, I mean, the people in Columbus must really be crying because this guy's unbelievably good. This is the power forward we've never had. And just to watch this guy, as big as he is and strong as he is, the moves that he has on the ice, it's just unbelievable. And putting him with Carl Hagelin, you talk about thunder and lightning on the ice. These two guys are unreal.
It's such a transformation to me. And, I mean, the season is short. It's a shortened season. I mean, we've only been in business, you know, barely 2 months at this point. But, at first I was just getting really angry watching them. Like, why aren't you playing like you did last year? But I know, I admit it. I am a big grump. I am a big curmudgeon. And I want to see it now. But now, you know, when they had the streak earlier, you know, and when I talk about, you know, brief respite, it's almost like, you know, oh my gosh, they just won that by the skin of their teeth. And now it's, you know, it seems to be getting more definitive and they're starting to gel and they're, you know, like you said, it's starting to really come together. It's really amazing to really watch that all kind of come together, and they're playing with an intensity. Like you said, Rick Nash had that undisclosed injury. He seems to be fully recovered from it because he really is that spark plug. I mean, he's kind of, you know, if you want to call him the catalyst, he's like the Jose Reyes. I hate that term, but he's like the Jose Reyes of the team right now, just putting it all together.
Yeah, and you know what? I think what in the beginning of this shortened season, I think what really hurt the Rangers was missing the Tortorella training camp or concentration camp is what he really runs in the preseason. I mean, in those camps, they work and work and work, and he runs them through those gases going back and forth until they've dropped. And all that conditioning helps during the season. So I think that kind of hurt them. It's a different team from last year, too. They've brought in some guys. They've tried to infuse some of the youth. We saw with Kreider coming in. We see with JT Miller. Kreider is maybe not exactly ready. Tortorella is not a very patient guy to begin with. You know, you're starting to see different things. But Darryl Poe, before he got hurt, you know, he was one of those guys that you need. He's a good face-off man, good defensive play, very good on the penalty kill. And the other thing that's killing him is this power play. I mean, I don't understand how Mike Sullivan is supposedly coaching this power play. Enough already with Mike Sullivan coaching this power play. And obviously, it's not working. I mean, we have a guy who sits on TV who's like the greatest defenseman other than Bobby Orr and Brian Leetch, who ran the point on a power play on the great range of teams of the 90s. Can we please get him on the ice over in Greenberg and work with the power play? Maybe work with Brad Richards a little bit, because Brad Richards on the point is kind of useless. Work with him. Try to work with this power play. If this team ever had a half-decent power play, I'm thinking 12% of scoring on the power play, they'd be one of the best teams in the league. You know, they'd be right there with the Blackhawks. They'd be right up there. The power play's killing them.
I think that goes back to the signing of Hamrelick, because and Hamrelick will never be mistaken for Brian Leetch or Bobby Orr or any of those guys. But the fact that the Rangers came out and said that they were looking at Hamrelick even before the Staal injury, I think that tells you where they're looking to improve on the power play. You know, they had Delzato on the power play, and Delzato is finding his way. I think he's getting better, and I think he's got room to improve, and he's getting there. But I think they were looking, and then like you said, Richard's on the point. I think that's the one thing that they needed was a big shot on the power play, somebody that can run the power play. Now, to bring Hamrelick in while Staal was still healthy, it will help the power play. The problem is that Hamrelick is 38 years old and he's slow as molasses. And it doesn't fit in with the Tortorella dynamic. So before, with Staal healthy, I could have seen the Rangers bring him in as a seventh defenseman and not give him a regular shift 5-on-5, but then just have him play the power play, give him the bulk of the power play minutes. Now with Staal out, you're either going to have to give Hamrelick a regular shift, or you're going to play seven defensemen and have somebody like Stu Bickel in to play defense, which is scary enough. So I don't think there's a real good option there for the Rangers. But Hamrelick does help, but it also underscores the fact that they need help, A, on the power play, and B, they need Staal to come back as soon as he can.
Well, I'm gonna date myself here, and kids, get ready to go to the internet and Google this name, because I know none of you know the guy. It's Vaclav Nedimansky. Vladislav Nedimansky played for the Rangers back in 1982-83. And the reason he played, the Rangers went out and got him, he was called the doctor of the power play. And he scored 9 power play goals for the Rangers back then in 82-83. He played mostly with Detroit. He was very good power play guy. On the power play, the guy could score. That's what Roman Hamrelick is. John, you're 100% right. He's here. He's not going to see like a ton of ice time, but he'll be out there on the power play. He might be the guy to run the point on the power play. You know, they have to do something. It's sad when you see that you have guys who, I mean, Ryan Callahan just can't play every shift. You know, he needs to get a rest every now and then. And, you know, I don't understand why they have guys, like when they brought up the guy, Mash Hinter, a big guy like that, go in front of the net. You know, another name from the past, Tim Kerr, who played for the Flyers back in the 80s. He scored more garbage goals than anybody not named Phil Esposito. He would stay in front of that net, especially on a power play. He was a big guy. He took the beating in front of that net, but he always had his stick on the ice, and any time the puck came near him, he would score the goal. The guy scored 50 goals on garbage.
And he came to the Rangers, and then he had nothing left.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was, you know, he was beaten to a pulp, you know, standing in front of that crease all that time.
Well, they did that every once in a while, too, with a guy like Derek Bougard, and God rest his soul.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought that they should have done that more with him, just as a different look on the power play.
Yeah.
I don't think they really have a guy that they can, a big guy that they could park in front of the net. You don't want to do that to Nash because you want a guy like Rick Nash to be creative on the power play.
Yeah, and you can't afford to have him taking a beating over there because this is a guy that's going to play a lot of minutes for you. And,
right.
You know, they just don't have that guy with that size who can just go in front of that net. But you know, you would just think somebody would go when the on the point, somebody would just go as soon as the shot is taken, go to the net. And you know, the overpassing, you could see how tight they get on that power play because, you know, especially at home, because you know, as soon as it's a power play, first of all, when it's a range of power play, everybody groans. And then when the power play starts, everybody's on the edge of their seat screaming, "Shoot the puck!" So there was quite a lot of pressure.
And that's been their problem for 30 years. I mean, you want to talk about dating yourself? This is the Ranger. We could be having this conversation with our 12-year-old selves in 1982, and it would be the same thing. They pass too much, and they don't crash the net.
As the big whistle, Bill Chadwick used to say, "Shoot the puck, Barry! Shoot the puck!
Shoot the puck! That's it!"
All right, guys. Well, let's wrap this up. Thank you for coming on the show. Now, ultimately, what are your feelings? You know, going forward, are we feeling more positive? I mean, I'm feeling like this is a totally different team right now. Like you guys just said, the power play. It leaves a lot to be desired. And it's funny, you know, your reaction to the power play is like me with the shootout. Like, I'm like, I hate the shootout. I hate the goddamn shootout. But I'll watch it. Like, I'm not going to stop watching the game because it's the shootout. But, it, you know, it's like the power play. It's just part of the game. What are you thinking? What is this team? What are you expecting from this team for the rest of the season?
Steve, you want to take this first?
Okay. A good health. This team needs to stay healthy. They have to stay healthy because they're fresher now. They're starting to get their legs. And this is, you know, every game really counts because even if you look at the Panthers, Florida, they're at 19 points and they're in last place, 15th place. But they're only like 9 points away, 5 points away from the Rangers. At 24, they're right there. You know, the Islanders now are even starting to play well. They're 22 points. So this is, you know, it's tough. I mean, you can't, in this kind of a schedule, you can't take that game off. You can't, like, there can't be that one game where you say, you know what, let's just show up and see what we can do. Every game counts. And I think that'll help the Rangers. I think that'll help them, too, that maybe they'll be a little fresher come playoff time. And, you know, John, like you said, last year we saw with the Kings, you know, they were the eighth seed last year, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. You're starting to see that more, and not just in hockey, but in a lot of sports. So, I mean, let Montreal win the President's Cup, or let the Blackhawks win the President's Cup. Just make the playoffs, and then from there, you know, they always say the hot goalie. Well, who's a better goalie? Who would you rather have in goal than the King? So I'm going to bank on that, and I think that the Rangers will go far in the playoffs.
All right.
I agree with you absolutely, and I will say, and I'll take it a step further. You know, first of all, what you said about training camp is right. Everybody's now, the first month of the season was everybody's training camp, and now that training camp is over, now that we head into February and March, it's the Rangers are finding their legs. And just as you said that the Panthers are right behind us in 15th place, not that far away. Rangers aren't far away from the division lead either.
Yeah.
You know, they could get, and it's not like the teams that are above them are playing lights out. And Pittsburgh's playing well, but they're not playing lights out. The Devils have gone into a slump. The Islanders, I still wouldn't trust a third period lead with the Islanders. So the Rangers, they couldn't move up. And like you said, they don't need to have that one seed. If the Rangers have proved anything from last year, that they could win on the road. So let's go into the playoffs as a 5 or 6 seed or 7 seed and roll the dice there. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the Eastern Conference, no matter what seed they're in, that will scare the Rangers. They play Boston tough. They play the Devils tough, as we know. You know, Pittsburgh, you hope that Pittsburgh doesn't find their stride either. And then you've got Montreal that Montreal has been giving the Rangers fits for weeks and months and years. But let's see them do it as a one seed. Let's see how they respond to having that target on their back too. So yeah, I am optimistic about the Rangers, and I do think that even with a lower seed, it won't be time to panic at all. Just get in.
Fantastic, guys. Steve, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Are you plugging anything?
Well, not really. You know, I've been putting up a few posts. I did a little book review on Mike Piazza's book that he wrote, which was okay. Good, kind of an okay book. I mean,
he's no R.A. Dickey.
No, please, no. Not even close. But, you know, I do my Sunday night show with Mike Silva. We do Sports Media Watchdogs here on Blog Talk Radio at 8 o'clock. We do it live, and then you can download it on iTunes as soon as we're done and put it in your little iPad and iPod and listen to it on the train or when you're stuck in traffic or if you're just hanging out doing nothing.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
So long, John.
Okay, take care, Steve. Good to talk to you as always.
See you at Citi Field.
You got it.
Bye.
And, Nostradamus, as always, you've been lovely. Are you plugging anything?
Well, you know, I feel bad because Steve's podcast is on Sunday, and the stuff that I do is on the radio is usually Sunday. Also, I do a guest spot on WLIE 540 AM at about 7:05-ish with the Baseball Report with Mark and AJ. And also, on March 17th, there is a podcast called Around the City, with a couple guys named Josh and Brad. And on the 17th, I will be guesting with them at 8 o'clock-ish. So it's I think it's aroundthecity.com. You could find the podcast. If I'm wrong, I'll get it out there on Twitter. Twitter account, blog, you know, you guys know where to find me by now.
Well, I have it in the chat room for people. So, but thank you so much for coming on. This has been a great show.
Thank you for having me, as always. We'll do it again soon.
Oh, of course. Of course we will. Talk to you soon on Twitter, probably.
You got it.
All right.
On the interwebs.
All right. Bye. And I'm the Coop, and you're listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast on the NBB Media Sports Channel on Blog Talk Radio. And
upside down and
it wouldn't be
out.
A show,
show all you folks what it's all about. Now
if we didn't have my boy on
the mic and make this mother party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm gonna show you the way. There it is. Let me hear you say,
hey. Without further ado, everyone, the Walt Narrative segment is on. Woo! What's going on?
I don't know how good my cell reception is, Coop, so hopefully I'm not breaking up on you here.
Oh, no, that's fine. I will just, you know, keep this real laid back. You know, just some background for the audience. We weren't sure if Jake was going to come on tonight, and said, all right, if you come on, you come on, and you did. So thank you.
Absolutely.
What is
always
going
on? Always a pleasure
on?
To be with you, Coop.
Yeah, and what is going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was interesting because I heard the guys talking about how, you know, just get in and the Kings were the number 8 seed last year. And the Kings are actually starting to look again like the team that won the Stanley Cup last year and just seemed to dominate teams in the playoffs when you totally wouldn't expect it. The key, as those guys talked about, as I'm sure you know and everybody knows when they groan but at the Garden, but truly the power play is going to be the key. And you got to give the Rangers a little bit of slack on that because new guys coming in, even though there's a training camp, when new guys are brought in, there's always a period of adjustment before the mix is ready. But the big key to me is you've got to have one sniper who's consistently scoring. And to me, the Rangers' sniper, there's a lot of goal scorers, but their sniper is really Marian Gaborik, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that generally in the playoffs and for long stretches of time, even during the season, he kind of disappears, and that's a problem. You see with the Kings, when Jeff Carter came over last year, he was a big key because suddenly he was a sniper on the power play. And then teams have to watch them, and they end up occupying, and other guys get opportunities, and that's what they ended up doing. Gabrick's got to have a good, strong season. He's got to play well in the playoffs. I do think the Rangers, as constituted, can win it. They're certainly capable. But the power play can't be non-existent. The Bruins did it one year, but realistically, it's just not the recipe for winning the Stanley Cup. I think Gaborik is going to be one of the keys to that because he is the type of guy who can make other teams' goaltenders, defensemen, all pay attention to him, and then it's a big advantage for everybody else. But, you know, out here the Kings are playing well, and they look like they're going to get themselves situated where they have a shot at defending the title. The Blackhawks are playing just out of their minds in third periods and overtimes and shootouts. It's just insane. But it's fun. It's fun. I tell you right now, because of the sprint and all these games really do matter, games are very different than I think in a lot of years. Right now would usually be kind of a lull before they really crank it up again. There's no lull. You better play well now or you're going to find yourself too far back. So
right.
It'll be very interesting to see how it lays out. I would be surprised, frankly, if the Rangers didn't end up as maybe a number four, number five, or even higher if they catch up in the division. But in the East, anything can go, and I don't think there's any team that I look at roster-wise and say I would take that team over the Rangers roster right now. Will they win it? Well, you don't know, but the Devils as constituted, I don't think are going to go. They're not going back to the finals. I just don't see it happening. And the Penguins' defense still plays like they're only playing offense.
Yeah.
I mean, and their goaltending is shaky. So, you know, put out who else you want up there, but there's not a whole bunch of teams that I would take over the Rangers, but they need Gabrick or somebody else. They got grinders galore. They got guys who can play. They got guys who can move the puck. But they need that because they, you know, I don't know who sits on the power play with that team, but, you know, maybe they change it up and put one of their scorers on the point or something. I mean, look, you're talking about a guy who grew up in the days of Plexi Rexi and Reho Ruotsalainen. You know, half the time he missed the net. But when the puck got moved to him, you knew he was shooting. He wasn't I loved the reference earlier because I was thinking to myself, I always remember the big whistle saying, shoot the puck, Barry. I remember that just like they were talking about. But, I mean, who on the Rangers is this big power play shot? Granted, you see them more than I, but nobody jumps out at me when I look at them. They got solid defensemen, but I don't see one of those guys as, again, the guy who's going to attract all the attention. You know, a guy like a Shea Weber on Nashville or a Drew Doughty on the Kings or some of these other top defensemen. You know, when the puck gets moved to them, you better be out on them because otherwise you've got a problem. I mean, who in the Rangers has the big shot on the D side that you think is threatening? Who's the big scoring defenseman for the Rangers?
Yeah. No, exactly. I totally agree with your assessment. Like you said, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is finesse. You know, they try to get a little too pretty. And I'm always saying that on Twitter. I mean, if you follow me, I'm always like, la, 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 look at me, I'm so pretty. Oh, I missed. Oh, I'll try again. And it's like, no, you dumb bastard. Shoot the goddamn puck. But, you know, you're absolutely right. And that was something I think that was even, you know, that was the Rangers' Achilles heel in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
That Gabrick wasn't around. And, you know, I remember when Brad Richards came to the team, my dad and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, that it'll be good. You know, we'll have that sniper. And I remember thinking to myself, well, wasn't that Gabrick's job? Like, what happened to that guy? Because, you know, he came, you know, with such hope. And now, you know, Richards is out, you know, indefinitely. Stahl is out indefinitely. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. But like you, I think as long as they make the playoffs, you know, is there anybody else that we'd rather be in the playoffs, you know, than riding on the back of King Henrik? No, not really. So I have about 90 seconds left. What else is going on? Are you promoting anything?
I am not. I've had a lot of travel. As a matter of fact, I've been in New York City two of the last three weekends, but it's been, unfortunately, once for a funeral and then once for a family bar mitzvah. So I have not had any time to actually get out in New York, but hopefully in a couple of weeks. But I haven't done any writing. I haven't done any blogging. I've been a hermit as far as that's concerned. But I am... I'm promoting the fact that there's nothing more exciting than the fact that the hockey season is on the back half of it pretty much at this point, and it's wide open, and it's going to be spectacularly exciting like it was last year. I don't see any dominant teams. I hope for all New York fans that the Rangers actually get their butts in gear on the power play. I think that's the only thing they should ever practice at this point is just the power play until they figure out to shoot the puck and crash the net with their big bodies. But I don't think Chicago is the team to beat. Can I just say that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Chicago is the team to beat. And I actually think, as much as it sounds crazy, I actually look at this LA Kings team, and I think the way they've started to play again and recapture their feel from last year, I actually think they could win it again. I'm not saying they will, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I would put them as the favorite right now over the Blackhawks, who are really good, but I haven't seen them get it done come playoff time in a couple of years. And I would take the Kings team as constituted.
Right. No, I hear you there, and I totally agree with that assessment. But, hey, you know, when you're in New York and you have time, it's Jacopalooza.
I look forward to it. Got to get the blondies, got to have my fill of wings and cheese fries and beers and sports and the coop. And we will coop. There it is when I am there sometime. It's probably going to be mid to late July. So we will have a Jake and Coopalooza.
All right. Awesome. All right, dude. You take care, and hopefully we'll be here again next week.
Thanks, Chip. I always enjoy, and what can I say? I still would rather be back east, but I'm stuck out here in L.A.
Well, as long as you're my reporter from the West Coast, it's all good.
Yeah, I'm waiting for all the Dodgers to get injured. That'll make me happy.
Oh, speaking of West Coast, I'll call you after the show, if not tonight, then sometime early next week, about an idea that I have in April. So we'll wrap it up.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. And I'm a believer because the season hasn't started, so let's go Mets.
All right.
Thanks, Coop.
Right. Sure, Jake. Bye. And that was Blondie's Jake Stevens, and I'm the Coop, and I'm signing off. I'm your gal for all seasons, galforallseasons.com. This is the Gal for All Seasons podcast on Blog Talk Radio and the NDB Media Sports Channel. You can find me on Twitter at Coops22, COOPZ22. Take care, everyone.